Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you are listening to the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That's my story. That is what I'm sticking to. This platform, this Industrial Talk platform, is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate. And you know what? Yeah, you're changing the world. Thank you very much for what you're doing. We are celebrating you each and every day on this podcast. Thank you for joining. Let's get going. You are, man. You're changing the world, even during this challenging times, because we're gonna need you. You're gonna have to innovate. You know, I've been hammering on that over and over and over. You're gonna have to lead. We need you. We definitely do. We have a great interview. Of course we do, because we have wonderful people that are always on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Maureen Metcalf is her name, and she has a company called Innovative Leadership Institute. And you know what we're going to be talking about? Oh, yes. We're going to be talking about leaders. And we're going to talk about leadership styles. And we're going to be talking about the qualities of leaders, especially during times of disruption. Again, there are going to be four or five components that we need to constantly remember. One, you do not have all the answers. You're going to have to collaborate. You're just going to be the leader that reaches out not only internally and ask for help, externally, find your customers, find people that have answers, that want to collaborate with you, come up with solutions. Once again, we need you. You're going to have to innovate. You're not only going to have to innovate from a technology point of view, you're going to have to look at your business from, you know, stem to stern, every part of it, and innovate and see how you can create some level of resiliency within your business. That's a must. And then all that stuff, you're going to have to take action. You're going to have to do it. And when you take action, you're going to fail, or you're not going to get this sort of what you expect. You just keep going. You just keep pushing forward. We need you, and we need you now to lead and be that solution. And the last is speed. You can't lollygag. I'm telling you right now, if you have a business, or you're involved in a business, whatever it might be, you need speed. So once again, collaborate, innovate, take action, speed, baby. You can do this, because we need you more than ever today. Let's make it happen. All right, Maureen Metcalf. I'm telling you, it was a great conversation. And she approaches leadership from data, from the specific of like, here, this is what the data's showing. I'm just, I'm just communicating the results. So anyway, Innovative Leadership Institute is what she's all about. Her title is Innovating How-To Leaders During Disruption. Is there a disruption going on? Have I missed the news? I think there's some disruptions going on. And we're going to take you down the road of actionable items that you need to. And oh yeah, she has a leadership assessment, which will be out on industrialtalk.com. It's a link. Boom. Pull it up. Get that leadership assessment. Figure it out, okay? All right. Here is Maureen Metcalf. Enjoy the interview. Hey, Maureen. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you have made time in your busy schedule, especially, I mean, this time is really unique. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, Scott. Thank you so much for including me on your podcast.
You're awesome, because you made yourself available. And I'm telling you, I can't wait for this conversation. And so for the listeners, let's just sort of lay out who you are and where you come from. And I've seen your stat card out there, but why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background, and let's roll into the interview after that.
Okay. So the quick stats, MBA in finance, spent 12 years with large consulting firms.
Like what? Which consulting firms?
PwC and...
I was a managing director at PwC.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Which office?
Atlanta.
Ah, and I was in D.C.
There you go.
Virginia.
We had a better softball team. I don't know. I can find out.
I'm sure your office was better than ours. And then I went to Accenture.
I never went there. And yeah, okay. Go ahead. Continue as I digress.
So then 20 years after I left the large consulting firm, I was in the utilities practice right around when Enron happened. And that was a bad time to be in utilities. So
I represented Southern California Edison when they were deregulating California. I worked at up in San Francisco. And that's where I was introduced to Enron, as well as Duke Energy, and they were pretty aggressive too.
Actually, I worked with Duke setting up one of their transcos, and then Enron collapsed and we didn't have work.
Yeah, that's right. How about that for a small world? Now, listeners, I didn't know that, but that's my background, and it's apparently it's a Marine's background, and but I'm showing restraint, Maureen, because I would go right down that utility background, and I don't think that we want to talk about that right now.
Yeah, we probably don't. And then I started my own company on September 12th, 2001. So during a bit of a crisis. And my focus since then has been helping leaders evolve themselves and their organizations concurrently. Often leader development is in one box. Transformation is in another box. They're done by different people.
Yeah.
And we don't attend to the specific behaviors leaders need to transform the organizations to meet the stated goals.
Yeah, and I think, listeners, we're going to be talking a lot about leadership. And one of the big bugaboos that I have in my, I can't say craw, that doesn't make sense, but what causes problems with me is the leadership and how leaders are responding to this particular challenge. And I think you're going to bring tremendous insights into, well, what is a good leader and what's not a not so good leader. So let's start with the problem statement. Let's talk a little bit about what we're looking at today in this particular environment we call, you know, I guess, pandemic.
So the work I do is solidly based in academics, and my job is taking the latest and the best research, in my opinion, and bringing it to businesses. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the research that looks at kind of the extension of, we all know about childhood development, and you've got the terrible twos and whatever you get. As leaders, we continue to go through predictable phases, and that's one of the things we don't teach, is there are a series of phases. So we'll talk about things like, in the book Good to Great, Jim Collins talked about what a level five leader is. Yeah. So we have snippets of that. What most people don't think about is what is that conveyor belt of leadership. So what's level two and level three and level six and level seven? So there are folks at Harvard, Boston College, there are folks in the UK who've all collaborated and created some frameworks very similar. And there is solid data behind them. And that's important, that it's not just you and I having cocktails coming up with something. Well-researched for decades.
Okay, so with that data, give us some data that we need to be aware of during this challenging time.
So if you use the language of Jim Collins, just as a marker, because people know what that is, the people he would call level five leadership, I'm going to call matching that to the Cook, Greuter, and Torbert model called the strategist. And this has been published in Harvard Business Review by Bill Torbert. So that the common word is strategist or synergist. And they look at the level of cognitive complexity, affective development, so emotionally aware, so ties to the EQ stuff, ties to behavior. Not only do I know it's the right thing to do, but I do what I know is right. They look at things like time horizons. Yep. Am I solving today's problem, or am I able to balance short-term, medium-term, long-term all at the same time? So as a leader, am I able to navigate that level of complexity and continue learning and growing and have a presence that people follow? 4 to 8% of leaders are at that level, depending on which country you're in and which data you use.
That's pretty low. And I mean, come on. And I would imagine that data is sort of levelized in sort of a predictable type of the market where, you know, there's challenges and there's problems and there's all of this stuff. I would imagine it's even far more impacted by this big old unknown that we just, how do we, I don't even know. What do we do? So I would imagine that's a challenge.
So some people regress. Actually, our friends at PwC did an assessment about looking at this in the UK. So they are higher than we are in the US. And Antoinette Brax just published a paper, I think this month, that said that the rate of people at that level is going up by 1% a decade. So by 2030, we'll have 5 to 9% of people if we don't do something better than we've done for the last two decades.
Do you think we're doing something better? Do you think there is a focus on doing something better?
I know my work is on doing something better and bringing forth this data and these practices to as many people as I can. Now, I have my own business, but part of my business is pulling together the research of Cook Greuter and O'Fallon and Torbert and Brax and creating a model that allows our clients to develop faster than part of it is you don't develop if you don't even know it's missing.
See, this is going to be a problem. It's we're in the midst of this challenge. I've witnessed what is not a good leader versus maybe what's a good leader. Mm-hmm. I'm not as skilled or adept at how you communicate it. All I know is that if I see a leader that is struggling, there's no way that leader right now is going to shift from not good leader to a good leader now. I mean, they're right in the middle of a crisis.
Most people with, and this is again why I like the frameworks, not that it's about memorizing a framework, but if I know what good looks like and I can point to it, I'm more likely to be able to do it. If I have no idea what it looks like,
What does good look like? What does it look like?
So I'm going to give you a list of 7 behaviors and you're going to know them when you hear them. So one is professionally humble. And these are both mindsets and behaviors. So we've heard people who act humble until the microphone's off.
How do you define outside of the fact that that's fake humility? Does professionally humble mean? What is that? What are the characteristics of that leader?
So puts principles ahead of personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
Freely happy and instinctively gives credit to others. Cares more about the organization and its results than their personal image.
Yeah.
Committed to their personal and the organization's mission as their North Star and focus of where they put their energy.
Yeah.
So it's not, if I am committed to your mission, then I am going to consistently make decisions for the good of the whole, not so I can get the next award.
It's truly what you're saying. It's other focus. That individual is, you know, when you look at instead of a pyramid, the pyramid's upside down, and that individual's at the bottom, helping everybody else achieve whatever their God-given purpose might be. Whatever their objectives, that individual is there before and at the bottom of that pyramid. I like it. Like it a lot.
Yes and no. And here's the challenge.
Good.
They are militantly focused on meeting the mission of the organization. Good. So if there are people, if the pyramid's upside down, then we discount that as the CEO, I have more information, or I should, about the executive level landscape. I certainly don't have more about the tactical level landscape.
Yeah.
So there really is a give and take that I need to own responsibility for some things, and I need to include appropriately everyone in the organization.
Got it. Number two. Of the 7.
Right. Unwavering commitment to right action. So this is, has the ability to be fully committed, hard driving, and fully focused, but not myopic or stubborn. So it's stay the course until I learn, and then I modify, course correct.
See, and once again, as a professionally humble individual going into that, they're not reluctant to change. They're just going down a course, and it's like, hey, I got to change. and they don't, they just change. And they do it because it's for the betterment of the organization and militantly, you know, driven for that purpose.
Like and that. Where this ties to the first one is, if I'm worried more about my image than the mission, then I won't change course in some cases because I don't want to look bad.
You won't.
Yeah.
So yeah, because failure is a bad word, but for me and you probably it's not so bad because I fail all the time.
I would reframe that and say we learn it and grow from the things that are.
Yeah.
And so I talk about it more as experiments than failures.
I love it.
As a scientist, if I'm not learning, I'm a failed scientist.
That's exactly correct. All right, on to number three. And now you listeners out there, take notes or re-listen to this and write these things down, either or. So let's go.
360-degree thinker. I think. So I balance like competing commitments of multiple constituents on a regular basis. So this is my employees, my financiers, my customers, my suppliers. I have to run an organization that is fair and equitable to everyone, and everyone wants more.
Especially today, you don't have all the answers because we've never really been through anything like this. And so you have to have that 360-degree vision more than ever now.
And the ability to balance across a complex system.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that is coming to light now is the complexity of the systems.
Yeah.
This thing happened in Wuhan, China. Most of us couldn't find that on a map.
Yeah.
And are the people who supply the berries I eat or the spinach or whatever are from somewhere else in the world. They're not in Columbus, Ohio right now because it's still cold. You know, we're all balancing complex equations and most of us don't even know they exist.
You're absolutely right. That is so true. All right. So we've got professional humility. We've got right action. We've got 360-degree type of view of what's going on. Number four.
Intellectually versatile, and this would be the curious one.
Ah.
So this is, I continue learning. And again, right now is the perfect example of...
Yes.
I have to take an interest in what's happening locally, nationally, globally, in my industry, and in adjacent industries.
Yeah. And it's not as if the information is not out there. You have the time. You got to start consuming it and make it a routine. I know I do. I'm not to say that I'm right or wrong or whatever, but it's just if you're curious and you have a desire to do well, either more or better or stronger. You got the Steve Austin approach, $6 million man. You got to consume that content, and the content's out there. And it's not just the content. You can all, like, I guarantee you could reach out to you, Maureen, if you have a question or comment, and you'd be there. So it's even better.
Well, and so the next one dovetails with that. I'm curious, then I have to be authentic and reflective. Because it's one thing to read books and do nothing. It's another to read a book, even fewer books, or consume fewer podcasts, but do something with them. Take something away from this podcast. What is your towering strength that you want to build on? What's your biggest weakness that you want to help to build on?
I think you're absolutely, and that is such an interesting, there's the action component. I'm curious. That's all good. I mean, I'll go out there and I'll watch whatever science channel is out there, but you know, it pretty much stops right there. I'm not going to go sit there, but here there is a necessity for action and do it. And instead of, like you said, instead of consuming a gazillion books and pick and choose and be able to actually deliver and take action. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, look at me. I'm a better person talking to you. Look at that.
So the other source of the reflection is ask people for feedback and ask.
Is this number six? Is this number six?
No, this is number five. Number six is inspire followership.
Okay. Well, let me go back because this is exactly the one I was talking in my latest podcast. It was ask for help. And you've got this sort of pride element. And I just said, you know, throw that on a, you know, bonfire and get rid of it and ask for help.
Yeah. You know, we all, or at least I want, when I do something, of course I want some people to say, you're brilliant. It's perfect. It's never brilliant and perfect. There's always something that can get better. So
right.
I would rather get smarter than have my ego fluffed. Mostly.
That's a great statement. Absolutely correct. And again, you know, if you're professionally humble, you want that stuff. And it's like, yeah, great. Thank you. I'm a better person. I'm helping more people, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number six.
Inspiring followership.
Followership.
So if I am leading, I can only lead effectively if people are willing to follow me.
But then again, you need the other five beforehand. If you don't, there would be a sort of a gap.
Yes, absolutely. So these are all interconnected, and that's why we did it this way.
Yes.
Things like being trustworthy, being able to navigate conflict effectively. You know, this is, don't be an idiot. Don't be a jerk.
That I definitely can work on that. I just normally just say, hey, put your big boy pants on and stop.
I have been heard to say, pull up the big girl panties.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have time for that.
Well, there's a balance between empathy and enablement, right?
Yep.
And then the last one is innately collaborative, back to learning from other people's perspectives.
Oh, you, especially now. I just did one on collaboration. It's like, you gotta do it. It's like, you gotta do it. I like it.
And this is back to, I don't have all the answers. I'm gonna hear stuff I don't know, I disagree with. And if I'm not curious, I'm not going to be willing to shift my point of view.
Yeah.
So this builds on all of those before me.
It is so true. And I love how you've laid it out. And it's, and to a certain extent, if I'm a leader and I go down and I work and I find content that I'm reading about how to collaborate properly and be an inspiring leader, whatever, the content's available. It's important that all of these work together and you don't have sort of that gap. I mean, it wouldn't work if I said, I'm not curious. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, because I can't collaborate if I'm not trying to understand.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I can't collaborate if I'm not humble, per the definition we provided, because you're just sitting there, you're going, okay, yeah, that's a great idea. I have never thought of that. Oh my gosh. Vulnerability. Oh my gosh. I'm showing my weakness. And nobody likes to do that, especially in industry.
Nobody likes to do that, no matter who. I mean, and again, I'm making a general statement, but most of us don't like to show our weakness. But I can't inspire people to follow me if I assert that I have all the answers, because everyone knows that is not true.
Okay, so we got these. This is pretty great stuff. Don't get me wrong. Great stuff. And you listeners out there, take notes. Great stuff. Find more content. All that good stuff. What are the roadblocks? I mean, this is great stuff. But if everybody was living it, we wouldn't have just 4% of the population demonstrating values like these.
So part of it, I think, is there hasn't been that conveyor belt. We haven't said, this is what good looks like. And for many people, they think good looks like whoever runs their company.
Yes.
That guy or woman has to be good because they have the big title and the big money. And other people say, they're not what I want, but I don't know what else is.
Right. No, it's like, you're right. But again, you get to a point where if the head cheese doesn't believe those leadership qualities, I mean, people leave companies because of not just the company, it'd be because of leadership.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, it's a tough thing to begin sort of culturally figuring out that challenge.
So I think the other is what's required to lead a company and be successful, especially as the economy is growing, is different than what's required now during a catastrophe, right? So there were a lot of people who were perceived as good, and they were good in the context of a growing economy and things flourishing.
Yes. And boy, I'll tell you right now, when you think about it, how do you take where you're at today what do you do today in the hopes of trying to mitigate some challenges in the future? I mean, there's some really interesting uncharted territory to go through. So as I listen to you, we're all in this chaotic boat together. What is your recommendation on, instead of eating that whole elephant in one bite, what do you recommend?
So I would say learn more. You're going to post a link to a survey where people can test themselves.
Yeah.
And this is my life's work. So I make absolutely as much information available for free as possible.
Yeah.
Go to my website, take the assessment. We post blogs and radio shows and content at least once a week, if not right now during the pandemic, we're doing it twice a week.
Yep.
You know, how do you build resilience? How do you...
Big word, good stuff, yeah.
It, just every number of things, because we, you know, the old a tide, rising tide raises all boats.
Yes. And we're in a big doggone boat. We better start doing something together. That's for doggone sure. Now, I'm out on that landing page. Listeners, I will provide the link at industrialtalk.com, and it looks pretty straightforward as I peruse it. You got assessments, you got leadership, you got it all out on this particular landing page. Easy peasy, listeners, no excuses. We do have to wrap it up, unfortunately. So I'm going to repost the seven, you know, components of a leader, but are you active out on LinkedIn?
Absolutely. And anyone who's listened to this podcast, connect with me and send me a note, because I don't accept anyone who looks like they may be a fake name. right? So if...
Or somebody that has a beard and a ball cap on, and, you know, that's questionable too.
If you only had female followers, you would seem probably predatory, and I wouldn't accept you.
I hear you, man.
But if you send me a message and say you met me on Scott's podcast, I will absolutely accept you. And
again, and it's best practice anyway. You should send a note. You're not just... I don't think... Did I send you a note when I connected with you?
I think you did.
I just said, hey, we're going to get connected in a... 15 minutes or something like that. I just want to look at your stat card a little bit more. There you go. Well, very good. Maureen, thank you very much. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side, but remember, we're going to have everything associated with her organization out on industrialtalk.com and her landing page. And hey, Maureen, thank you very much.
Scott, you are fabulous. Thank you.
You are fabulous. Look at us. Look at us dealing with the leadership qualities, and look at, we're both professional. Well, I don't know about humble. You're fantastic. No, you're fantastic. Anyway, thank you very much, Maureen. Listeners, stay tuned.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. What did I say, man? Maureen, she's a rock star. She knows, boy, does she know leadership. Absolutely, she does. The website is Innovative Leadership Institute. All one word, that's her website. Innovative Leadership Institute is her company. We're going to have some, looks like some books out there that she's produced. We've got a link on how to do some leadership assessment, which you need to, because we're depending on you. All right, everybody, you need to collaborate. Be leaders and collaborate. Do not be prideful. We need answers and we need solutions, and we're going to achieve that through collaboration. We're going to have to be innovative. So let's say you're having that conversation and you're collaborating, and somebody says, hey, I got this solution. It's a technology solution, and it's great, and it's innovative. Let's figure that one out. Bam. Now you're being innovative. You're taking action. You can't just sit back and just get fat like I'm getting fat. You need to take action, and you need to do it with a sense of urgency. You got to be speed, and you're going to make mistakes. Please, it's not the end of the world when you make mistakes. Yeah, it hurts the knees sometimes. Brush it off and get going right back up. Thank you very much again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. innovate and change the world. That's what we're all about. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Take care. We're going to be back with another great interview soon.